Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our India program. I want to give a special welcome to all those that aren't part of our Georgetown Church and have come out here to hear the program. I think you'll like what's going on there and the things that we're doing and how the Lord is working in that region as well. Should we open with prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou art a great God who art a God over all peoples. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us this opportunity. We confess our sin of spiritual complacency and dead orthodoxy. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us a zeal for missions unto thee. We thank thee that thou hast given us this opportunity in India as well, and for Paul Raj, and for the pastorship which he has there over the churches and the towns. We pray that thou wilt be with the orphanage especially, and the young children that are there, and the ministry that that offers. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit moves through that region, that they will overcome the persecution that is there, and the heathen religions that are present, and the oppression that they can feel. O Lord, move through Pastor Paul Raj as well with thy Holy Spirit. And with us as well, we thank thee for the blessing that thou hast given us as well, that we can provide this zeal and opportunity. Help us to overcome our fears of the different cultures and the region as well, and the distance and difficulties associated with us. These things we ask in thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
On behalf of Georgetown Protestant Reformed Church, Joel and Ellen Brunege and Mary and myself were privileged to have a trip to India in November 2014. And tonight we want to show you some of the pictures and report to you of some of the work that we did there, as well as the progress that we see in the Reformed Christian Church of Vellore. This is now the ninth year that Georgetown has been working with Pastor Paul Raj and the Reformed Christian Church of Vellore. We believe that over the different visits that we have made, this past visit confirmed to us that we see maturity, we see growth spiritually, we see growth in Reformed Church government, we see growth in love for the truth, we see growth in the spread of the gospel. We're very thankful to God that God is blessing the work in India. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things we did, some of the things that we saw, explain a little bit of how Georgetown is working with this group of believers in Vellore, also that we're looking now for the Foreign Mission Committee. We're in contact, our council is in contact with the Foreign Mission Committee, and seeking their input as well. Going back, we're going to talk a little bit about what we did, but what we're really hoping for is that something come across to you of what they have done for us, and of how we have been blessed by them when we see their faith, when we see their love, when we see their commitment to the gospel. Ellen's going to start by talking about life in India.
Yeah, I just want to start a little bit with this slide, especially for the kids, if you don't seem to know where India is. It is on the other side of the world. For those of us who go there, it's about 25 to 30 hours on a plane. And when we get there, it's hot and humid. And it's usually about midnight. Most flights get in there from the States at midnight. So it's dark, and we're greeted with a lot of love and warmth from the people that drove about 3 hours to greet us. A few quick facts about India that you might not know. It is the second largest country in the world, China beating it out by 100,000 or so. Two things of note here. One, the TB, leprosy, and HIV AIDS that are prevalent there, this is important because it's really how a lot of the children initially came to Grace Foster Home. many of their parents either were very ill or died of TB or AIDS. The other thing I wanted to note is that the 2.3% of the population being Christian, and especially now, I know Phil mentioned it in his prayer also about the persecution. Since the spring, there's a very powerful Hindu government in place, and this has really added a lot of pressure on the Christians in India. For those of you who get the newsletter of the persecuted church on Mondays in your email, you'll see notations of India frequently. So it is definitely something to keep in prayer for them as they struggle against that. Then we're just going to go through some scenes just to give you a sense of what it's like there. Some of these are either from when we drove around. We had a couple trips, one to visit with Architects for Grace Foster Home, or just driving around Velour, or as like in this slide, walking around the neighborhood by our hotel. Just poverty is all around. A lot of begging, generally, mostly some on street corners, but mainly if you're driving and they see you in a car and they might come up for some money. This is actually the bus station in Velour. It's the new bus station. I'm not sure what the old one looks like. This was kind of across the street from our hotel. Also scenes from our hotel area. When Mary and I walked this day, several of the people were very friendly. They were offering us food and drink. So we were quite impressed by that. Everywhere you go, there are temples. It's easy access for people here to worship their heathen gods. And as Mary and I were walking, we came across this woman worshiping in the temple. We were so happy to see that they are still riding 4 or sometimes 5 on a motorcycle. We experienced that the last time we were there. I don't think we saw any 5s this time. They had pulled up next to us when we were in traffic, and Joe snapped the picture. This was actually the scene out of our hotel window. A woman making the most of garbage that was thrown away, and I'm sure she can salvage things to her home. For the kids, lots of animals floating around the streets, goats, cows, dogs, donkeys. You kind of watch where you walk. Colorful trucks and nap time underneath. Again, neighborhood areas. Although there is running water in some homes, and there was in our hotel, in this particular area, they still get water from a spigot on the street, and they carry it in these very colorful jugs.
All right, now we'll have some slides on the Reformed Christian Church of Velour. This is the pastor, Paul Raj, and his wife, Kasturi, and their children, Jason and Joanne. This is Pastor Raj's parents, who are also very active in the Grace Foster Home. And this would be Kasturi's mother, who is a baptized and confessing member in the Reformed Christian Church, in her son-in-law's church. Pastor Raj's sister is a social worker. She attended all of the conferences and I believe in the church services as well. She lives a ways away. But with her help, children come to the Grace Foster Home, and she's also involved in the Sunrise Life Center that we'll explain in a moment. Here are the office bearers of the church. Pastor Raj on the right. Then, starting across from him, on the left, would be the deacon, Savran, and then the elder, Errol Kim, and actually it said deacon, but he is actually an elder now, Prem Kumar. This is the outside of the place where they worship. They worship on the second floor of a house in Velour. So you come up the steps, they take off their shoes, and inside is where the worship services are held. So there's a view. It takes a while for everybody to come together. The children of the Grace Foster Home are present at worships. Their worship service is very similar to ours. Just very briefly, we have an opening doxology, prayer, songs, congregational prayer. That day they had a special song at the Grace Foster Home. They had confession of faith. We'll talk about it in a moment. By the way, on your program, on the back side, you have the questions of that were asked that day of confession of faith. So the Sunday that we preached, that we were there, they had confession of faith. Two young men who are workers also in the Grace Foster Home, Karna and Pravab, and then Jabiraj and his wife, Beulah, made confession of faith. And what they do is, the pastor asks the question, but you notice the elders and deacons are there as well. On the back of your program, you have a list of the questions that are asked them, and they respond to those questions. He's asking the questions now, so this is a video. We don't have the sound of this. Well, you can read also in Tamil what is being said on your program. All right, so there's a view from the back of the church. Now, the Sunday that we were there, the English-speaking, we refer to them as the English-speaking medical doctors, were also in attendance that day. Normally, they worship on Sundays separately. More of the worship. It is, every time we've been there, that's their custom. The women sit on one side and the men sit on the other side. But you'll notice that the medical doctors violate that. Their wife sits with them. So they will sit as a couple. Otherwise, everybody sits female and male. Here's one of the elders, Errol Kim. He came from a Roman Catholic background. He showed some real development in leadership while we were there, in his speaking, his love for the truth. Here's a family. We made some calls with Pastor Raj to some widows. This is not a widow. The woman next to Paul Raj is a member of the Grace Foster Home Committee. Her husband has Parkinson's and dementia, so we visited with them. Another one of the widows, Sheila. By the time we got to her house, there was a power outage and it was dark, so we had to use the light of an electronic device to read the Bible. While we were there, we held a 2-day conference on the doctrines of salvation, which were well attended enthusiastically, and here's the concluding picture of that conference, mainly members of Paul Raj's church, as well as a few other pastors from other churches nearby and other contexts. And it had to be, because they speak in Tamil, it had to all be translated. So I really saw myself as an opportunity for Paul Raj to teach. He would translate what I would say, and that would give him an opportunity to teach these Reformed doctrines. All of their gatherings, they loved to sing, keyboards. There's a woman who attended the conference with her, I believe she's 40, and this is...
we didn't look like her, so it took a little while for her to warm up. My favorite shot of the whole trip, sorry, but our praise leader in was great.
I was just going to say that, you know, the music obviously is totally foreign, right? But if you hear it long enough, after a while you sort of pick it up. And I found the one instrument that I think I was destined to play. Outside during the conference would, the 2-day seminars would start at around 10 o'clock and they'd go till 4 o'clock. So it was a very long day, yet there would be times for that we could have fellowship and teasing and so on.
Yes, he was teaching them, I believe, because I took the picture, you were teaching them, see you later, alligator, in a wild crocodile. And they had to repeat it after you.
So in addition to our conference, 2-day conference on the doctrines of salvation, which were well attended and we thought very blessed of God, we spent time with the young men of his congregation. The person who's taking this picture is Joel. And we spent time with the young men of his congregation, a couple of hours, on sexual matters. They had a lot of questions for us about marriage, single life, and stuff like that. Then the next thing we want to talk about is the village outreach. So in addition to the Reformed Christian Church of Vellore, they have an organized program in which they go into Hindu villages to bring the gospel. This program includes what we call tutors. There are 5 villages that they are currently visiting, and there are 6 tutors. The village that we went to, Ramalai, has 2 tutors. These are young people, girls from his congregation who come to the village during the week to help the children of the village in their homework and also teach them the Bible, so that when Paul Raj comes and his elder to give a sermon to teach, then the children are present as well as their parents. Also, in addition, you see Paul Raj is seated in the red chair looking at his Bible, and the man speaking, his name is Jabiraj. He's a member of Paul's church, and Paul has been training 3 men to help him in this work. Visiting each of these villages every week is a lot of work. And what Jabiraj actually did that night as we were there was that Paul Raj had preached through the 7 churches of Revelation, and Jabiraj, from his notes, repeated the highlights of that message that night in the village. We meet in just a little hut with a thatched roof. Here my wife is teaching them, what is that? This coordination stuff, I guess. So here's a group of the children that are part of the tutor program. These are all children in those villages who are being taught the Bible stories and the Christian gospel. And then again, Paul comes once a week to hold a service. There's also older members of the village who attend these services as well. Then we want to talk to you about the English group of medical personnel from the Christian Medical College in Vellore. That's the draw to Vellore, is the Christian Medical College, started by Ida Scudder. And there's a group then that has come out of that medical college of doctors and interns, and here they meet on Friday night for a Bible study, and then they meet on Sunday for worship services. And in the back, just behind my shoulder, is Dr. Ronald Carey and his wife Sylvia. Dr. Carey really leads this group. Paul Raj will preach for them 2 Sundays out of the month. And Dr. Ronald Carey and his wife, Dr. Carey is interested in the ministry and interested possibly in coming to see our seminary. Here he is with his wife. They have 1 little boy, Sachin, and she also is a medical doctor. Both of them are doctors.
And open the lightning that rolls.
students are from, not only from India, they're from various places in India, and other countries. For instance, one of these young men is from Nepal. Ben was his name. Then for this group of medical students and doctors, we held a two-day retreat in the Yilgari Hills, which was about 2 miles from Vellore, a little retreat. We stayed overnight. And they were very eager for the Reform faith. The first session started on a Saturday night, I believe, after supper. We had two sessions that night, if memory serves me. We had another six sessions the following Sunday. So there were, I counted, 8 messages that I gave in a period of just under 24 hours. That night we had a bonfire outside. They can all speak English. They are all trained or being trained in the medical profession. Some of them, here's a worship service that we had with them that day. Some of them they come to the college to study, and they're sponsored by their village or their community, and then when they're finished, they have to go back and serve what they call a bond for 2 years. So some of them had journeyed in just for this conference. That is Dawn and Sylvia, that's Dr. Ronald's wife, and I'm not sure of the young lady next to her. So it was really good fellowship. They had a lot of questions. Questions that reveal that they were well acquainted with Calvinism, interested in the Reformed faith. They also had a lot of questions about marriage, if I recall. That was Sachin, and here's, what is her name?
Samantha.
Samantha. We've known Samantha now for 3 years. All right. I believe that brings us to the Grace Foster Home.
Yeah. The Grace Foster Home, many of you here are sponsors for these kids, and we heard over and over again when we were in India how they appreciate the support, not just the financial support, but the prayers and the letters that come their way. When we visit India, I think every team does that. We always want to make sure things are running smoothly, you know, they're documents are in order, they're well cared for, and every year people come back with the same message that these kids are loved, they are taught the word intensely. When you talk to Paul, Raj, and Kasturi about them, Kasturi especially, her face just lights up. I mean, they're her children. The boys building actually on Eden Land might even be completed, but Paul, Raj, and Kasturi are actually going to move in there. And we had asked them, doesn't that kind of cramp their privacy? And that was just totally a non-issue. They want to be there. They want to have hands-on training and teaching of these children. Foster Home. One special note, Kartik is the young man in the striped shirt on your left. He was sponsored for years through Grace Foster Home here, through a family here at Georgetown. And then they sent him on for training, culinary training, and he is now the cook at the boys' home. We did see that over and over. The children, as they get older, they either are sent on to university, they work on obtaining scholarship money for that, or trained in some specific task. So actually, Joel and I saw a young man who we first saw in 2008 who's now working, having been trained. A couple shots here of the girls' hostel. We're actually looking down, or I'm looking down on the courtyard. The well and the toilets are on your right, and the kitchen is on the left. Eventually, when the home is built on Eden, the girls will move out to their land. Some shots from the worship service. And I think Mary's going to talk a little bit about the interview process that we did.
So I guess give you a little bit of a human interest part of the story. I was talking to some of the children there who were from the homes. They were called extended care children, and getting a little bit about their story and such. But even more impressive was eventually you will have seen that we were playing a game one day and had a great time, and then we were waiting for dinner, and in the meantime, Paul Raj asked if several of the children would like to come up and tell their story. And so seven of the children came up, ranging from the age of about 6 to age 17. They were standing there in line, and as they started to talk, some of the children became so overcome with grief and sorrow about what they had gone through that they could barely go on with what they were saying. The love for each other was shown. The boys were encouraging each other by patting them on the back and wiping the tears from their eyes because they were so overcome with the story of their life and how they were going to share it there. Almost completely of those seven children, they all unpromptedly said thank you to their sponsors. So they are well aware that they are being cared for through your generous benevolence. Another thing that is good to know is that almost everyone said that because of the Grace Foster Home, they came to know Jesus. In fact, one girl said, "Till I die, I want to live for Jesus." So they are bold in the way they talk about their love for Jesus, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I want to just tell you about two special children. One boy is named Ajit Prabhu. I don't know if Ellen, you want to look for them. His picture coming up. And he is when you see him, you'll know he's a little bit husky. He's about 14 years old, and he's always smiling. This was his first year at the Grace Foster Home. His mother had died in childbirth, I believe in childbirth with him, and his father had been too ill to take care of him, so he was sent to live with his older sister, who was married and had a family. There he was abused. He was not allowed to go to school. He was forced to work, and one of the jobs that he would do was a very demeaning job called beady-making. And beady-making is rolling cigarettes to sell to people. And he did not know who Jesus was. In fact, he said that he thought that Jesus was a freedom fighter that was saving the Indians from the British. So he had no idea. Well, in God's providence, earlier this year, he was brought to the Grace Foster Home. He was one of the children who was weepingly telling his story. He was just overcome in the fact that he actually now has friends. and he knew nothing about Jesus, and now he already knows and has memorized scripture, and he says, I sing Jesus songs. But one of the best things was for me to see him walking around, and he needed to talk to Kashturi about something. It was very important to him, and he came up to her, and he called her mama. And I just was so touched, because this is a young man who had no mama, and now he does. The other child I wanted to talk to you about was Monty Condon. He's a young boy. If you see him, he's the one wearing glasses. He's probably about 12 years old, and he's been at the Grace Foster Home for a while. His father died when he was a baby, and his mother was not able to take care of him. But his mother was able to find Grace Foster Home. And this little boy talked about how he was almost blind, and he was not, through the care of Grace Foster Home, he was allowed to have a surgery in which one of his eyes was improved enough for him to be able to see. So he was just overcome with thankfulness for his having to have only partial sight, but at least he has some sight. And one of the things he said was, I never want to leave this family. The neat thing about this guy and his mother is, the last time I was there, he was baptized, so we watched him be baptized along with his mother. And his mother also made confession of faith at that time. And we saw his mother again there this past Sunday. She's a faithful member. And so it's wonderful to see how these families come together and come to worship together, even though they can't live together.
Oh, this guy is just too cute. I mean, everybody wants to take him home. Appan Raj, his name is. He used to be the youngest one. I think Vishal is still the youngest one now. You'll see his picture in a minute. Neat thing, just very briefly, all the area Christian schools donated T-shirts for the kids. And so we gave them a variety of gifts. They got a T-shirt, they got some candy. Tori Ensing from this congregation made bracelets for everybody, and so they got those. And they were thrilled with everything. Oh, here's Vishal on the right and Alvin Raj on the left. In good old Adams Christian School T-shirts, my alma mater. Here's some of the girls with the bracelets. These are the two girls who are now in university. Nandini on the left and Kavita on the right. They attend university together in Vellore on scholarship, from what I understand. So these are two girls who continue to live at Grace Foster Home, but are out of the regular school system. The guys taught hot potato to the kids. It was too muddy to play on their land, so we were all in one space. 46 kids. I have never seen such a well-behaved group. They did not know this game. We started with two balls and 46 kids. And then Pastor and Joel gave them assignments when they had to bow out, well, when the music stopped. One of them was sit-ups. And they didn't know sit-ups or push-ups, so Joel got to show them how to do it. And Pastor is encouraging the little guy there. And then we had their favorite food. We asked what their favorite food was. It's biryani. So that's what we had for supper. Here they are making cards for their sponsors. Sponsors got cards from each one, and that's how they were made. And here's little Vishal with his card after receiving his T-shirt. And I think he's six, so we were all impressed with that card. He is just cute. He's missing, I think, one front tooth. This was one of the little girls giving a testimony. Tragic. She's Appan Raj's older sister, and their parents died actually on the same day. Just some more fun shots of the kids. This was actually our first night there. And then we have this new program that Mary's going to talk about.
So, we have this work.
so we were at the girls' home, and came in and looked, peeked into a room, and there was this mother with a brand new baby, less than 2 weeks old. This is Salvi and her baby daughter, Jeevana Mercy. Jeevana means life, and you will soon know it's a very fitting name for this baby. She was born on October 24 to Salvi. Salvi is 29 years old. She is a victim of polio from a very young age. She is crippled. She cannot walk, and so to get around, she drags herself. She drags her legs by pulling herself around on her hands. Salvi's parents are gone, they're dead, and she has one sister who is a widow with three children. And she comes from a town about 500 kilometers from Vellore. While in that town, she was married and her husband left her high and dry. He didn't say anything, he just left her. So she found herself homeless because she couldn't afford to stay in the home that she was, without any income because she's a cripple, and pregnant. She ended up living on the platform of a train station for quite a while. I assume she was probably begging for food and keeping shelter from the wind and rain under the top of the train depot. She actually did try to take her life more than once. Some friends took pity on her, and through Paul Raj's sister, who you heard about before, came to know about a pregnancy crisis center. Now, in India, pregnant women who are in crisis, it's a very common occurrence, and almost always the women choose to abort their babies and even disposing of their newborns. Paul Raj, through his sister, has started has started the Sunrise Life Center. Sun is spelled S-O-N. Sunrise Life Center, to help women to choose life and to assist them in this choice and to give them the hope that they should have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Salvi case came to them and they welcomed her to their care. Jeevana, which means life, Jeevana Mercy, was born without complications at the CMC hospital by the doctors who are part of Sunrise Life Center. At that time, Jeevana was to stay at the Grace Foster Home, but Salvi was not going to be staying. She was going to be going home to live with her sister. And so we are thinking that they would be separated and Salvi's life would go on without her baby. But we don't know what has happened yet, and we hope that there's another solution than that, but at least that baby is cared for lovingly by so many boys and girls and the help at Grace Foster Home.
I'm going to actually pass this on to Joel, and we're going to talk just a little bit about Eden and the building project.
Yeah, so this is the new building, the building for the boys. 20 boys were in a building attached to this, and we'll be moving into this building along with some of the boys who are in extended care. Paul Raj and Kasturi, Jason and Joan will also live here. And it does have a large room that can be used for a meeting. This is a photo of Yesu, who earlier you saw Paul Rogers' father, and it's a colorful design. Just a temporary design that they like to do. Here's an electrician. Can check out the ladder there, kind of shaky. This is Kartik, who's serving tea, sweet tea, which is something, a custom that they do at nearly every social gathering. And Kartik just loves to serve in any way that he can. Here's construction that's still going on. Again, you can see the ladder. You can see some scaffolding slashed together with rope. Probably wouldn't meet OSHA standards. So here is the land, Eden land, partial view, where more buildings are going to be built related to the work. You can see the small three-wheeler there, and this one was gifted by Heritage. And so we're waiting for the final plans to be completed on the girls' building, which we think will be coming in the near future. This is the work crew. This is a photo from the building dedication program. The Grace Foster Home kids lined up on either side, and we went through the line with them throwing confetti. And then this is Kasturi speaking to the audience, giving a history of how the building came to be. This prayer. Picture of the four of us with some claws that they gave us, ribbon cutting. It's a photo from the multi-purpose room with a kid and Milo, one of their pets, along with Jimmy, another dog not shown here.
The young smiling man on the left is the young man who's the one I was telling you about who was forced to make the beaties and has only been at the Grace Foster Home for a year.
We're standing in front of the kitchen area. There's a photo of the four of us with the English group. They also came to this dedication. And then here is rice in large vats. Again, the meal biryani was served to about 250 people, including the neighbors who are also invited. Another scene for about pie. Eating with the fingers. It's an art. This is the entryway to the building. It's just a beautiful building, well constructed, well thought out. We're very impressed. Here, Paul Braj and Kasturi are planting a coconut tree. And surprisingly, they said that in just 4 years, it should be producing coconuts. And here is prayer. At the site of the girls' building, which hopefully will start soon. And then all of us.
This is just the last shot of us before we all took off for the airport. I think we had a 2 o'clock in the morning flight and you had a 4 a.m. flight. The slide after this is going to be the kids singing Bind Us Together in Love, and this text came to mind with this song, and above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's not the clearest picture, but the message is incredible.
Yeah.
have any question tonight, we can spend a moment to briefly to answer any question that anybody would have. Sandy? There are, I believe, 50 in the Grace Foster Home. Another question? I don't think they're planning beyond their present capacities.
This is the congregation, this picture they're talking about. This is the Valour congregation, as well as a couple of the outlying villages that they invited for a Christmas celebration. I snuck this slide in. It was not one that we took. It's one that Paul Rodge sent to us in December. And so somebody is standing probably on the roof of the building looking down at the congregation and villages and Grace Foster Home kids.
Marv?
Are all the boys at the foster home now?
They are.
They're not outside where they're living?
No. I don't know of all the women that they have helped.
I believe that at the time that Salvi was there, there were five other women that they were helping, but Salvi was a special case because she had no one to help her. These other women often are in pregnancy crisis because they maybe they just can't afford to have more children, or maybe they are not married, but at least they do have family members that show interest and can care for them, so they don't need a place to stay. Salvi needed a place to stay and to be cared for.
All right, any other questions yet tonight? They're probably, they're more Western. The physicians and their wives are more Western in their mannerisms and dress. That's true. Yeah. All right, you can ask over here, Bill. Right. What do the women get when donations are given?
Well, for these, the girls and the boys all wear t-shirts, and the girls don't always wear traditional dress. The younger children do wear, pants and t-shirts and stuff, but they often wear traditional dress to any church meeting, and they wear traditional dress to school. They wear school uniforms to school, so. And those outfits that you saw that they were all alike, Byron Sunday School donated money for those. So those were purchased for them just before we got there.
You mentioned that Paul Rodge is involved with the Grace Foster Home. To what extent is he involved, and does that detract at all from his labors in serving as a pastor and visiting these different villages as an outreach?
He's a very busy man. There are five who serve on the board of the Grace Foster Home. Is he one of them?
No. Actually, he has limited.
Yeah. So he's not on the board of the Grace Foster Home. His wife does a lot of that. He is involved in their teaching, the teaching of the children. So yes, he is a very busy man. He readily gets a lot of his creative ideas. But he is a faithful preacher, faithful teacher. Go ahead. Right. They treat all of the orphans are not per se members of the church. Some of them are. But he teaches them, or he treats them all. So they're in church. He teaches them all. Yep. Go ahead.
My gosh, 17 or 18.
Okay.
They're still staying. Those two young girls are still staying at Grace Foster Home while they're in university, and they are still sponsored. Well, I don't know. I know that they teach boys and girls, if they don't go on to university, they look at what the next step is. And the other thing we didn't even touch, and we don't have time for that, but there are arranged marriages there. So these girls, they'll be arranged to marry.
That's a very big thing, Christianity and marriage, teaching that. One last question. Correct. They're being sponsored
Because of the housing issues. Some had to leave because they, these kids moved a lot. They got kicked out of the buildings, and there was no room. So they, some of them went back to villages, still supported. Once all the buildings are completed, everybody will live on campus.
Hey, everyone is welcome to stay for the supper. We're going to close now in prayer and ask for God's blessing also on the food. So as you leave, go right into the lineup and we'll have supper together. We've asked Dean Wassink to close our time together in prayer.
Thanks very much to the team for a great job. My wife and I, it brings back some wonderful memories. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are full of joy and thankfulness for the work that thou art doing in this far-off land. We pray that thou will be with Pastor Paul Raj and his labors in the church there, along with the elders and the deacon, that they might continue to be a blessing to the congregations there. We pray too for Kasturi and the helpers that she has as they care for the children of Grace Foster Home. Father in heaven, we ask especially for thy blessing upon those dear children that were brought out of the darkness of their past and the danger and the sorrow that they had and have brought in, and brought into this family. We pray that thou will be with them and care for them as they grow up. We pray too, O Lord, that thou will be with us as we seek to help them and the ways that we have been given opportunity. And we pray too that thou will give wisdom and strength and encouragement to the India Committee that oversees this work. And we pray that we too may know the blessing of the labors of seeking to spread this, the gospel in a far off place on this, with Paul Raj and the churches there. We pray too that we might be inspired to our own witness from day to day, that even as we see their eagerness and their joy in spreading and telling others of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, that we too, with that same joy, might talk to our neighbors and those that are brought into our lives. Now, too, we ask for thy blessing upon this meal that we're about to have. And in strength, may we serve thee. And we pray for continued grace throughout the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.